Today on Movie Rollers, we record our first podcast from the Tribeca Film Festival 2015. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
Yes, you as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello, how exciting.
New York, New York, a hell of a town. And the first film I watched
was
On the Town.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so we're actually here at the 2015 Tribeca Film Festival. We came all three of us this year after Yazdi's experience last year, which was fabulous. I think we were all inspired to come. And in previous years, I think we've covered South by Southwest, but Rashmi and I decided to join Yazdi at Tribeca this year just to get a sense for a different flavor of film festival.
Yes.
And Yazdi, had you been to Tribeca before last year?
No, that was my very first time. It does have a different flavor, yes.
And I can't say I'm disappointed. It's really been a good event.
Yeah, so you guys got here a couple of days ago. We're catching kind of the back end of the film festival. It's been running since, I think, April 15th or something like that. And it runs through the 26th. So today we're kind of approaching the end of it. I just arrived here today, boo. But unfortunately, life and other constraints prevented me getting here earlier. But you guys got here on Tuesday a couple of days ago. So, yeah, just super excited to be here.
Yep, and we've already watched something like 13 movies, I think. Between us?
Well, that's what film festivals are all about. I mean, we have to, again, we're always big time advocates for film festivals, but this one here is right in the heart of Manhattan. So, I mean, anyone with access to New York, there really isn't any excuse, right? You've got to, if you're within any kind of distance here, it's done so well. It's very convenient. Everything's in like one or two locations.
You can buy tickets online.
Yeah, their app is excellent. And I should also say that unlike other film festivals where so much time is lost just in the logistics, waiting in line, you know, this movie's running behind the other movie, that one, you know, the Q&A took too long. This one is like clockwork. I mean, I know there was an issue with one of the live events you attended.
Correct.
But every movie screening we have seen, it started on time. You know, even for the public screenings, people get it on time, the movie starts on time, and there is occasionally Q&A. So it's a very... It's a very well-oiled...
Efficient. Yeah, well, there seems to be like an army of interns out there
correct.
Running this. I mean, you know, well, one of the nice things for us is, you know, just immediately upon registration, you know, people are contacting us. There's been great communication. So, you know, props to the Tribeca team. I mean, you know, this is how it should be done. And, and you know, just a great job to all the people out there that organize this.
Yeah, and a shout out to places like Regal Cinemas that sponsored these events. And you can literally run from screen to screen. And that's how we've been able to fit like four movies in even before like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So with that, should we start our quick reviews of the films that we've watched?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead? Because I don't have notes.
Tell you, Joe, what we've been doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't even had a chance to download. I came in this morning. So, yeah, I'd love to hear what you've seen and
so
what's
Yassi,
come
why
out.
Why don't you start?
Yeah, so the first movie I saw was a movie called Bear, and it was by first-time director Natalia Lite. Actually, I take that back. This is her second movie. I think the most popular actor in the movie is Diana Agron from Glee. And
it's Bear, just to be clear, Bear as in Bear, B-A-R-E.
B-A-R-E and not B-E-A-R.
Not the Yogi Bear. Type.
Not Yogi Bear, but okay. Like Bear Necessities. I think it's a movie which is going for a particular tone. It's one of many movies in recent memory about a person... A young teenager kind of caught in a small town environment and kind of unable to fulfill their true potential and trying to somehow get out of that and kind of, you know, get away from all the toxic influences around them. Unfortunately, I think the movie is very good. I liked it from the point that it actually says, in this instance, most movies on this theme is about somebody, you know, going up on their way to getting out of a, you know, constrained small town environment. Mm-hmm. This movie takes the other route. This is a person who actually goes down. She kind of falls into the wrong habits and the wrong kind of people, and realizes what she doesn't want to be before she realizes that she needs to get away from that. So it's got a great performance by Diana Agron, who's just fearless here, but the movie really didn't hold up together. I think there was a movie which we all loved, and so much ink was spent on this last year. It was Blue is the Warmest Color, which was also about a girl who kind of tries to figure herself out, and
what the bear refers to? Naked bear, or like bearing your soul?
I think it's bearing your soul. But she too
kind of a coming of age thing then?
It is completely a coming of age, but it's about this girl who kind of figures herself out by going through a very, very messy, you know, completely devastating relationship. And this movie aspires to be that and doesn't quite get there.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay, so while Yazdi was watching Bear, I actually did this event called Sinatra at 100, which was a celebration. So Tribeca's honoring Frank Sinatra. We've had 100 years of music by Frank Sinatra. And so basically they're showing a couple of his movies. So I got to watch On the Town, which I'm embarrassed to say I'd never actually watched before. Of course, I've seen the New York, New York.
I haven't seen it either. I mean, don't be too embarrassed. I mean,
yeah, but so I finally got to see the movie.
Go on.
But the nicest thing about this was they actually had performances by Tony Bennett, Neo, and some other singers that did a sort of a mini concert after the showing of the movie.
Live performances.
Right. So
I did catch that picture of you on Facebook with Tony Bennett at the end.
You know, I tell you, I snuck out because I was thinking I'd try and catch a cab. Before the millions get out, and luckily because I had my press badge, they didn't get rid of me. But I was standing waiting for the elevator, and the naughty man came and stole it from me.
The naughty man being
Tony Bennett, and of course he decided to wave. I don't think he was waving directly at me, but it was almost like, "Ha ha, I got the lift before you did." But anyway, it was a bonus. Of course, great performances and a good movie. I love Frank. I love Frank Sinatra.
I know. Well, Rashmi at the moment has got a Pandora station that she keeps tuning to play only Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
It's really annoying me because it's supposed to be like a French cafe radio station, but Rashmi thumbs up everything by Frank. So I'm like, this sounds nothing like a French cafe. Right. It's all Frank Sinatra.
So that was really
big, big fan of his.
Yeah, big fan of Frank. So it was such a treat. And that really was our first evening.
The first evening. And I think this speaks to the fact that every film festival has its pluses and minuses, but I think Tribeca really tries to do, you know, being in New York, they try to kind of do these offbeat events. They have director series, and this was a good way for them to bring in, you know, the big names like Tony Bennett and Neo and others to do a live concert after a movie. So it's not just a very academic kind of film festival. You know, they do all these.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was kind of worried that it was going to be like a huge concert. This was very intimate. I imagine there were less than 100 people in this studio. It was at Spring Studios. It was very intimate. So.
Do you know if it was televised at all, or is it just like a one-off thing?
There were definitely people running around with full-on cameras. I don't know if it's on the website. I'll actually have a check.
Okay.
Okay, so then we move on to day two. So that's really been our bonanza day of watching movies, right, Yazdi?
Yes.
And we pretty much stuck to the same ones, I think.
For the most, we did.
For the most of yesterday. So the first one we started with was Sleeping with Other People. And this is directed by Leslie Headland, and it stars Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie, and it's kind of a rom-com, but it's about two people who have been kind of self-sabotaging their relationships, and they want to stay strictly platonic, and it co-stars Amanda Peet, Adam Scott, and Natasha Lyonne. So good cast.
Lovely cast, yeah.
Yeah, very nice. So Yazdi, you go first.
So the same director made a movie called Bachelorette, which came out a couple of years ago with Kirsten Dunst and Rebel Wilson.
Yes, that one didn't work for me.
It didn't quite well, and it got into a lot of trouble because a lot of people called the movie misogynistic, that it hated women, and it's very blah, blah, blah. This movie, I mean, and the director is in the movie in a pretty key role herself.
Okay.
I just liked everything about it because, you know, I was telling Rashmi after we were leaving the movie cinemas, for me, one of the most difficult genres in all of cinema is romantic comedy, because I think at this point, everything has been done, flat out. Everything has been done. The history of cinemas is the history of romantic comedies.
Yep.
So anybody who can, in even a small infinitesimal way, kind of somehow, you know, heighten that genre, even in a small way, has does something right. And this movie, if nothing else, just has a remarkable script. I mean, just very, very, very good writing. I mean, we're talking about Harry Met Sally or... But the movie just works. I liked it, but again, I'm fine tuned for
this. That's right. So Yazdi loves romantic comedies, that, yes. And I love that. Remember the one rule that we always break at film festivals is we can talk about movies when we come out.
Yes, we can.
That was one nice thing. So I agree with Yazdi. This was a delightful movie, and initially I was a little bit worried because I felt like this was Generation Z, there when Harry met Sally, and I was kind of worried it was going too much down that route, even down to a split screen scene, which is very famous in When Harry Met Sally, one of my most dearest beloved movies. But then it took a right turn, and I mean a right turn. It did something a little bit different, and it really worked. So I love this movie. Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie have such great chemistry in this movie. And the director who's in the movie as well, what a brilliant cast. This was just hilarious.
I mean, I cannot not recommend this movie to anyone. I think maybe not to kids. It has some adult content. Yeah. But other than that, and I was like you, really, really surprised with Jason Sudeikis because, you know, he can do the funny stuff like the best of them. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, he kind of is asked to do not just the funny stuff, but also some, you know, some heavy lifting, some heavy stuff, mm-hmm. and he is able to pull off that.
He's very versatile. Yeah, I find him to be very versatile.
He's a lovable cad in this movie at times.
But a lot rests in this character's arc, and you know, it'll come off looking really fake if you can't carry the heavy stuff well. And he brings a lot of authenticity. So I'm very surprised. The other thing is, you know, like Marissa Tomei, like many, many actors right now who are grossly undervalued in Hollywood. One other such person is Amanda Peet. I mean, when does she get her own romantic comedy to headline? And she's in this movie. She's not quite enough in the movie, but she's just lovely to watch.
Yeah,
I agree. She's beautiful, and she has amazing comic timing.
I would say my only criticism of this movie is too many pop culture references, but other than that, very good movie.
It sounds like it's going to get a general release.
Will definitely get a general release, yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so then we went for a completely different genre change and went to see a movie called Meadowlands. So, Yazdi, why don't you give us a quick intro of Meadowlands?
Yeah, so Meadowlands stars Olivia Wilde and Luke Wilson as kids whose son goes missing. And the movie kind of starts on that premise and then watches the couple a year after that when they've clearly not recovered from that event. And the movie's kind of an exploration of grief. It's an exploration mm-hmm. of, you know, what people do in that situation to, you know, either shut yourself off emotionally or to go through very, very irrational choices. Because mm-hmm. when you are that deep in sorrow, then everything irrational becomes rational to you.
Right. And so the movie, complete perspective shift on life and everything.
Right. And the movie kind of touches a lot of characters around it. It's very grounded in reality. I think it's you know, Olivia Wilde is a beautiful person, and you know, I'm just glad that she is doing this kind of fare. I mean, she has no reason to. She could be, you know, Adam Sandler's wife in any number of romantic Correct. Movies, but this is quite an about turn for her to kind of be in this sort of.
It's a very movie. gritty, yeah. real performance, and I would say it's somewhat comparable, although not as good as the performance that Reese Witherspoon gives in Wild. It's that same type of character in those really wild days that we see of Reese Witherspoon. She's got to go to some quite dark places. My issue with the movie was that this should have really devastated me. Right, this is about a couple that lose their kid. And I wasn't devastated by it. And then I just felt like the movie meandered its way to the end. I would say an outstanding performance by Luke Owen in this, actually. I didn't even recognize that it was Luke Owen. I would give him a lot of credit. And then my only other criticism is if you're going to bring Elizabeth Moss into the movie, give her more than a couple of scenes.
Yeah, I mean, this movie has a great cast. Again, Giovanni Ribisi is in it. John Leguizamo is in it. Mark Feirstein, Elizabeth Moss. There are a lot of really good actors in it. But really, this is the Luke Wilson and
Olivia Wilde show. Yeah.
I always have a problem with movies about children in peril because it's such a low-hanging fruit. It's very easy to kind of bring on the emotional strains once you bring in a child in peril.
Right.
So if you're not doing it with authenticity, it can come off really cheap. And so I did have an issue. It really wallows in that. The whole movie is a giant wallow in about children in peril, and it won't make you happy at the end. It's really quite a downer.
I agree. I think it's an example of good acting in a not-so-great movie overall for me.
Yeah, Prisoners was a movie last year about similar kids going missing and parents dealing with it, although not quite as depressing.
But that was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
Well, there was that one with Nicole Kidman a couple of years ago.
Nicole Kidman, exactly. Yes.
Rabbit Hole.
That was the one. Yeah. So, you know.
Meh.
Yeah.
Not bad, just not great. Okay, then we went on to see, again, complete genre change again, Grandma. So this is directed by Paul Waits, and it's about Lily Tomlin, who I'm so happy to see back on the screen. And basically, you know, she's an older lady who's basically been in a same-sex marriage, lost her partner of 38 years, and her granddaughter turns up stating she needs money because she's pregnant and wants an abortion. So that's really the premise of the movie.
Yes, another happy movie.
Huh? No, actually, it's more of a dramedy than a serious movie. So yes, do you go?
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot of movies of late. It's a road movie. It's about, you know, her taking off with her granddaughter.
A
day in the life of. I mean, like you, Rashmi, any opportunity to see somebody like Lily Tomlin on the screen, and this is her movie. She's there through the whole course of the movie and every scene of it. You know, I think just from that perspective alone, anybody who wrote a script for her to be in it and kind of, it's very close to her real life, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a delight to watch her. The movie did seem very uneven to me. There were a lot of lines in the movie which are very funny, but they were put in because they're funny and not because they're in line with the characters. So it kind of felt more like a draft play script than an actual movie to me. You know, so I wish somebody had kind of been a little bit more, you know, diligent and just kind of sharpening the script. But be that as it may, it's almost like, you know, you meet character A, then you meet character B, then you meet character C as they go along this journey. And, you know, family skeletons get revealed and so forth. So it's very generic from that perspective, but completely worth your money just for Lily Tomlin.
I would agree. And the relationship between Lily Tomlin and a delightful granddaughter is just amazing. And Lily Tomlin is like girl power. This is a grandma with girl power. Really good, strong female characters in this movie. Not that I'm all, you know, about burn your bra or anything, but I really enjoyed this movie. I would say, Yazdi, like you, there was almost like someone had swallowed a thesaurus at some times. And I wrote down a word which I have no idea it means. They said, you are a solipsist. You are a solipsist.
Solipsist, yeah.
Yeah, like what the hell does that mean? But that was one of the insults that was thrown in the dialogue.
That should be a question to our audience. And what is a solipsist?
Solipsist. Solipsist, yeah.
I think the point is that she's supposed to be a very famous author, poet in the movie. And so, you know, she's very literate and she's kind of complaining. She's obviously in her late 70s, early 80s, and she's complaining about the new generation, which does not have any appreciation for literature and everybody's on their phones and blah, blah, blah. And so there's a lot of digs at people who don't read.
You know. Yeah, right. But it's very endearing. You know, it's a very endearing, sweet story. And I thought it had nice plinky music is what I wrote down in my notes.
Yeah.
That really stood out to me. Nice plinky music. And I think the one thing they did, Yazdi, sorry, I just jumped in. They actually got a band to do the entire soundtrack.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That actually in another movie that we saw today, but we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah. Speaking of music, I forgot to mention this about Meadowland, but that movie had really intrusive music. I don't know if you noticed it, but
it was just clangy.
It was clanging. It was bearing down on you constantly. I mean, don't tell me this is how I'm supposed to be feeling, you know, in the best of times. But this, it's just the whole movie. That movie is very overpowered by the music. But anyway, moving on. The last movie of the night.
No, I popped in and saw Mojave. Yes. Okay, so Mojave is directed by William Monahan, and this is the description. I'm going to read it because it's a really strange story. An on-edge Hollywood director meets a drifter brandishing a rifle and claiming to be the devil in this delirious desert road trip starring Oscar Isaac and Garrett Hedlund. Okay, so all I can say is Oscar Isaac is having a moment. He is amazing to watch in this movie. He's phenomenal. I mean, this actor is going to do great things in the next few years, I think. The movie itself, WTF. I don't quite know what I watched. It wasn't awful and I didn't think it was a waste of time, but I really can't tell you what I watched. It felt like it was a movie that was set up because of one random event, kind of like we were talking about John Wick, you know, how John Wick wouldn't exist if the puppy didn't get stolen. Likewise, if this guy hadn't gone to the desert, this movie wouldn't exist. Right. So it's kind of a cat and mouse, but it's a strange cat and mouse. It's almost like a coyote and a dog. I don't know if that helps anyone, but great acting by Oscar Isaac. I felt really thirsty. It was very it's all in the desert. And so the cinematography is phenomenal in this one. Really, really good cinematography, good scenes, but I felt really, really thirsty.
Yeah, I mean, again, I hope Oscar Isaac doesn't get lost in the shuffle, that he kind of rises. He's doing really good work right now.
Terrific talent, yeah.
Final one of the evening. We've been racing through this, Yazdi. So, Joe, you've hardly got a word in.
Well, no, it's okay. It's kind of awesome to kind of hear what you got to see on that first day. I mean, it sounds like it was a really terrific day. And considering, again, that we're coming in towards the back end of this film festival and some of the bigger stuff has already dropped, it's really nice to, you know, see how packed and exciting an agenda that they had for us here. I mean, this is great.
Yeah. Okay. And then now, go for it, Yazdi.
The last movie of the evening was a movie called The Overnight. And talking about coming in at the back end of the film festival, I've been reading reviews. And
no pun intended.
Yes.
I was going to say, this is the climax of the day.
This is the climax of the day.
No pun intended.
But, if you read any of the reviews about Tribeca, the one movie everybody's been talking about is The Overnight. And everybody's, you know, a lot of people are calling it might be the funniest movie of the year. And so when a movie, especially with funny, you know, when somebody tells me laugh, I will never laugh because, you know, laughter has to come uninitiated. So
absolutely.
I kind of went in there like thinking I'll be the one person who is going to be rolling my eyes while everybody
I'm laughing now. I'm laughing now.
At stupid stuff. But I'm here to tell everybody that believe the hype. I mean, I think...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think this movie has the making of a cult, but I think it's even to...
Kind of like a Hangover level type status?
It's way better than
Hangover. It's way better.
Really?
Yeah, way better.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
This is kind of Bridesmaid, The Proposal, that type of funny.
So it's really raunchy. It gets there. And I think, again, it's in the writing. So it's written and directed by Patrick Bryce. But it's produced by the Duplass brothers. You know.
Okay. Yep.
They're not actually in the movie. Mark Duplass is not in the movie, but they produced it. And it's got a great cast. It's got Adam Scott, Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black.
Jason I've been waiting for her to show up on the big screen.
And Judith Godrich. And essentially, it's a very simple story. It's about a couple who has moved in from Seattle to Los Angeles. And they're very eager to make friends. And then through their son, they make friend with another couple and they get invited to spend the evening at the couple's house that evening. And then, they decide, they just get drunk and they decide to stay the night. And
They
end up staying, and hence the name of the movie, The Overnight. And essentially the entire movie is about what transpires over that overnight. And I think, again, it's all in the writing. I mean, the movie just goes to such crazy territory. And you need to maintain tone, and you need actors who are just willing to just go with the director and jump off the cliff with them. And every one of them just jumps off the cliff with this director, going into crazy territory. And if I wasn't laughing, I was just cringing. And I love it when a movie makes me that uncomfortable that I don't know whether I should laugh or I should just like close my eyes. This is how you should do great comedy. I loved it. I think it's my favorite movie of the film festival so far.
Terrific stuff.
Amazing movie. This is really, really funny. And I think, Yazdi, you and I were literally belly laughing, as were the couple next to me. So there was a couple. Okay, so two things. Okay, I think the Duplass brothers are pretty obsessed with marriage and relationships.
Well, and they're very observant in that regard.
They're very observant. But I think at the moment, we've seen Jay Duplass do Transparent on Amazon.
Yep.
And we've also seen Mark Duplass do really good films like one with Elizabeth Moss that we raved about. The One I Love. And then he's also just put that series out with Melanie Lynskey on HBO, which I can't remember the name of, but I watched. So a lot about marriage.
Shameless or something like that. Yeah, go on.
You know, marriage, relationships. So again, here's another movie where they've really gone into marriage. And this is the sort of conversation, Joe, you and I probably had early on in our relationship where you kind of have that, you know, weird thing where you say, oh, I bet you love that woman with the big breasts, or you're looking at the guy with the, you know, you're kind of thinking about, you know, you kind of have those conversations
like
where you're
beads of cold sweat are forming just thinking about it.
Right.
Okay.
You know, but what I'm saying, it's that kind of, this is probably conversations that a lot of couples have, but they don't necessarily act on anything and blah, blah, blah. Really funny. Yes, I'll take it one step further. I'll say there's a lot in the writing, but the acting here is superb. And there is a lot of acting that is done without words, in looks, in physicality, and it is hilarious. And Jason Schwartzman is phenomenal in this movie. All of them are great, but he, for me, I don't know about you, Yazdi, he stole the show. And every scene he was in, I literally belly laughed. And I was watching the couple next to me because, like, every time something happened on the screen between a couple, they would literally look at each other and slap each other on the thigh. It was that hilarious. Brilliant movie.
So two things. I think you said, you know, is this like
The Hangover?
The Hangover. Very similar premise almost, but I think this is so much better than The Hangover. Or almost on par with Bridesmaids, which I love.
Okay,
that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Okay. Oh, I think it's because, yeah,
that's high praise indeed.
I think it's because it's so perceptive. It's not just funny, and it's taking a lot of cheap shots. It has like really raunchy humor. I mean, you have to watch it to believe it. But I think it's the writing. It's about you know, the nature of relationships, the nature of
insecurities,
marriages and insecurities, and what lurks underneath. And it's very perceptive in bringing all that stuff in. And I think when you're asking these group of characters to behave so weirdly, if you don't have good control over the material, it's just going to become like the circus. And
right.
The movie is never the circus. Mm-hmm. At every point, as crazy as it gets, it's all kind of
it's in. Grounded in reality. There's
it's
some,
very
and
well
even
done.
Though it's, and we're saying that because it's super raunchy and it's super weird, and it does go to crazy town, but it's grounded in a reality.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to say is, you know, this movie makes me very sad. Because had it not been for Orange is the New Black, the world would not know about Taylor Schilling. And honestly, watch this movie, people, and thank God. I mean, it's not a fluke, okay? It's not a fluke.
Yeah, I wonder about
she
that with
has,
her.
Yeah, like you wonder, right?
Because
she
took a while to warm to in the first season of Orange, and I think I didn't really enjoy what she was doing with that character until, you know, maybe a third or a halfway into the season. And I was like, wow, this woman's, you know, talented here. She brings a lot to the character.
She's, you know, my way to gauge people who are funny is by their reaction shots. You know, watch Julia Louis-Dreyfus or Kristen Wiig or any of these really funny comedians. She can match them. Her reaction shots in here. I mean, she's not, half the time she has no dialogue. It's how she reacts to other people, and she gets all the laughs. Like somebody is saying something and her reaction at the back gets all the laughs.
And she's not even at the front of the scene.
She's
actually at the back
of the
scene, but she's brilliant.
Her reaction shots are just terrific. So I'm so glad that the world has discovered her. She's getting the opportunities and, you know, she's moving up.
Yeah.
You know, into the
and Joe, I'll just tell you this. You know how scenes of men in underpants just make me bend over and laugh for days.
A very strange fetish you
it's
have.
It's a very strange fetish. I'm really, really, yeah, I won't talk much about it, but there's a scene of men dancing with no underpants in this one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can talk more about it. But,
does that take it up a level or down a level? Because I thought it was the underpants, but evidently it's just, it's the not, men, it's men dancing.
It's men
I think,
dancing
right?
in any form of undress. But I mean, I hope this movie gets a great distribution, and I hope that, because I think once it catches on, people will love it.
And Adam Scott is brilliant.
Adam Scott is
because
brilliant.
We had seen Adam
is
Scott.
Is it a big studio film, just by the way? Do you know?
Well, it's kind of one of those Duplass movies like Safety Not Guaranteed. I mean, there are these little movies, you know, which get marginal distribution. But I think if word of mouth gets around, then I hope this gets
I think this will get distribution.
I'm sorry, you were saying about Adam
Scott.
No, I was
going to say, we saw Adam Scott in the morning with Sleeping With Other People, he was a completely 180 degree different character.
Terrific.
Yeah, actually, the one other movie that The Overnight reminded me of was the movie that John Hamm's real life wife made a couple of years ago called Friends With Kids, which incidentally had Adam Scott as the main character in it.
We
it
didn't watch it,
Kristen
I think.
Wiig.
You didn't. I think I saw it with the Asda, yeah.
Yeah, so I think this movie has that. Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
So and people, if there's one recommendation that we can make to everyone, you know, based on the film festival experience, is that please watch out for The Overnight when it comes out. You won't regret watching it.
Excellent. All right, well, we're at the half hour mark, so I think maybe what we'll do is wrap up this podcast, and then we'll follow up very quickly with a part two from Tribeca with today's movie. So so it sounds to me like the movie of the day for both of you is The Overnight.
Yeah, I'd say that's the big one, the large one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really, really, really did like Grandma. I would say Grandma was probably one that I enjoyed. I liked Sleeping with Other People.
I would place Overnight followed by Sleeping with Other People.
I agree. Those and then two. Grandma.
Terrific stuff. Okay, well, let's wrap up the show for now. So mail at movierollers.com for comments. We will be getting these podcasts out pretty much in real time. So there is still time. If you're listening to this and you've downloaded the podcast and you're in the New York area, head to Tribeca before the weekend is out. You've got
3 more days to go.
A few more days of the film festival. Yeah. So, you know, do get yourself here. You can book online at tribecafilm.org. And, you know, if you're here before the weekend, ping us. We'll hang out. So until the next installment of the Tribeca Film podcast,
way too many movies.
Going to be, I know, too many movies, too little time. Never has that been truer. So again, until our next podcast, it's a bye from me.
And me.
And me as well.